Welcome to Sales Bites by Journey, where we talk about everything you need to know to be a killer at sales. I'm your host, Will Jenkins. Let's get it. Today's episode is brought to you by Revenova. Revenova solves the transportation management challenges facing 3PLs, freight brokers, carriers, and shippers with multimodal TMS solutions powered by the number one CRM platform, Salesforce.com. Serving the logistics industry since 2014, Revenova TMS customers benefit from increased sales velocity, improved service quality, higher employee productivity, and lower IT costs. Hello, and welcome to Sales Bites by Journey. My name is Will Jenkins, CEO and founder of Journey, and I am joined today by Gabe Hiberu, Senior Director of Partnerships and Marketing at Hey Bubba. And I must say, I did not know how to pronounce that correctly until about 35 seconds ago, but I love to make sure I say people's names right. So I appreciate you for giving me the heads up.
For sure, man. Yeah, especially after a decade of friendship. This is the venue to ask. And yeah, Portuguese is a little tricky. The R's are kind of sound like H's. So you nailed it though, Hiberu. Thanks for having me on, man. Will, you're a legend as well, you know, in this space. And my name's Gabe Ribeiro. We met at Coyote Logistics when I started there a while ago. I've been in the transportation and freight tech space for about 15 years now. Started at Coyote in 2011, went through some acquisitions, worked on the sales team, both carrier and customer facing. Also worked on the asset side for a while, moved abroad and worked in Brazil in the first 3PL brokerage back in 2017 after the UPS acquisition. And now, sorry, I need to drink some water too. I saw you over there.
Yeah.
As well. I got my little million dollar cups here. It's like this community thing that we do in Ann Arbor. But the past 4 years, I've been in the freight tech space. So excited to be on here and share some insights.
Beautiful, man. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to jam with us today. Before we dive in, let's talk about your fun fact. What you got for us?
You're probably going to hear it, and you probably heard it already in just the past. English is my second language. I was born in Brazil, and we immigrated to Michigan in 1992. So sometimes my brain, I guess you would say in AI now, it hallucinates, with sometimes I'm thinking in Portuguese and then I'm speaking in English and vice versa. So you'll see me slip up or say something that's very, out of left field. But it's mostly because the processing time sometimes for me with English being the second language, it makes it for a fun conversation.
Awesome. Well, I hope that we get a couple of hallucinations today as we get into some fun sales bites, man. So we're talking about practice.
Practice.
Yeah, great sound bite there, man. So you know I care a ton about practice, man. Part of what we do here is training and whatnot. So this is near and dear to my heart. Let's hear what you got.
Yeah, I figured maybe this is a way for me to be that micro influencer to sell your goods here.
What a guy. What an absolute legend.
There's a lot that comes into practice. I know you and I were both athletes, so that's obviously critical when it comes to sports, but it's super important when it comes to just sales in general and being coached properly too, right? It's the practice comes with your peers, but it also comes with upper management, senior level. So what I wanted to talk a little bit more about was the things that we did at the companies that I was the head of sales at that I thought was super beneficial. One was our conference certification. We had a process where you had to do a role play through the certification process. So getting the booth set up, we had a checklist of do's and don'ts, essentially. Don't sit down, don't be looking at your phone, things that use that time, because people like to go to conferences. And if you're one of the lucky few that get to go, use that time properly and make sure to optimize and get ROI based off of that. So we did a couple different certifications and training courses when there were new hires. But one that I really enjoyed was just kind of the role playing aspect, because that isn't a place that people, it's a safe space, right? It's something to try something new, approach something differently, and get feedback from folks without judgment. I think that's the critical piece if you want to really kind of keep improving. And I think nowadays, depending on the organization, there's just a lot of ego and judgment. So people, I think, are a little bit like adverse to even doing role playing in general. Like, I think that's what people, when we would kind of talk about the concept of role playing, you kind of get scared. But then once you're actually in the action, you're having fun with it. And if you have some people on the team too, that were like ex theater folks that like can like kind of like make it fun, do different accents, that's always key as well. But it's something that I saw, even with us, like Y-cording back in the day, you know, you had to kind of like sit connected with somebody and like wait for a good connection to happen. But you got so much value from that. And imagine with the technology nowadays, with Gong, Clary, all these things, you can kind of like condense all that information and be able to like absorb it as a library for your own needs.
Absolutely. We do a lot of that with the AI role-playing tool we have, and it ends up being one of the most valuable parts of the service that we provide, because you can 24/7 role play with AI buyers and then get feedback immediately. And it removes the nerves to an extent. You know, I don't have to worry about, gosh, like I didn't say it perfect. That's okay. This is practice, right? Like get your feedback and get back to it. And it makes it way more accessible because, you know, sometimes people just don't want to role play with their peers, right? Or, you know, whatever it might be, ego, et cetera, or like drop you in there, go and do your thing. Personally, big fan of those repetitions, because as an athlete, man, I've done practice after practice after practice. You do the same thing, but that's how you perfect the craft.
Yeah. And I think it helps like the rep find their own voice too, because you don't want them to sound like a robot, even though we're talking about that. Like you want them to have their own voice, their own approach. Even if you have a script, you don't want to stick on the script all the time, because then you're not going to allow the buyer to take the conversation where they want it to go, which is ultimately what you want, right? You want the buyer to lead the conversation, and you ask them questions to kind of direct you there. So I really think like training and role playing, just coaching in general, like it helps them find their own voice. They can, especially if you're doing it like in person or virtually, where they could hear themselves. I mean, everyone, I hate my own voice. Like it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be listening to this later on, because like my monotone like surfer voice isn't the best. But people tend to not like listening to themselves, but I think it's like critical to be able to hear like the objections and how you handle it, or like filler words too. Filler words are the worst, when you say or okay before and after every sentence, especially if like you're watching a podcast or something like that. You can totally just catch on and start counting it instead of like listening to the content and the knowledge behind it. But totally. I think, yeah, the finding their own voice, I think, is critical. And we used Gong at a company that I worked at, and I used it for like 5 years, a couple different companies, and like being able to find the keywords, put in keywords, and it's even better nowadays too with the way that the AI works there. But being able to find the keywords and objections that people are kind of throwing in during the conversation, it gives you a signal right away, right, to the AE or the manager, and it flags you to catch you like either improve on something, or maybe like you miss something in the conversation. You need to kind of circle back with that buyer.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about working through repetitions and then finding what works for you. You mentioned finding your voice. That's really important, because I'm not going to sell the same way Gabe does. I might pick up some things that work, but then I still want to be myself. And if you don't get enough repetitions, it's really hard to figure out what you feel comfortable working through and how you feel comfortable handling objections and positioning different scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the more repetition, the better, because there's going to be different objections that are similar, but delivered differently. So yeah, having the repetitions, and then it becomes like you don't even think about it, or you're not nervous about when somebody does connect and you're doing your 50th cold call for the day or something like that. And you're like, oh, and sometimes it's like that connection is the gatekeeper, and that gatekeeper, as you know, a lot of times they give you so much like nuggets of like knowledge there, or they're the person that will champion you later on, depending on like if it's a transportation or freight brokerage. If you talk to those gatekeepers and send them some donuts or whatever, like bring some donuts with you when you do like a in-person cold call, those people, you want them to become like your best friend. And the way to do that is just by more and more reps.
Totally. You know, it's funny. You talked about getting warmed up for your connections. You think about going to go play a game. You have never gone to go play a game and just started the game. Like just first quarter and you just start the game. You warm up for like an hour before the game and get loose, you get ready to go. Sales is no different, right? You don't want to be surprised by that first connection. Oh, shoot, I wasn't ready to have that person pick up. And so whatever you can do practice-wise to get your day started, whether it be role plays or something where you're practicing what you're positioning, you're going to go into that next conversation way more effective because you've already got a couple at-bats.
Yeah, and it's, I think, visualization of it is super important too. Being an athlete, like, you're able to visualize what you're going to do on the field. I think that's critical. I mean, you see that with like Tom Brady and all these other people. Like, they're visualizing what's going to happen when they win the championship. And yeah. I think making like training a cultural thing at your company is important. We did we followed kind of the development like sprint cycles. So we had like daily stand-ups, we had retros, pretty much grooming, anything that like the dev team would do. And we worked off of Jira, so we had like project management there. But every Thursday, we would do an in-person stand-up, and one person would essentially select a call that they had that week that they want the entire team to listen to. And we would just put it on the TV, we'd all sit in the conference room, and then people would just give feedback like, this was really good, you could have done this, great call, like whatever the feedback was. But there was no, it was all constructive, right? You'd have a line of people waiting to like have their calls listened to, because even if it's just like a one little difference, that can change the entire like trajectory of that relationship or the call or the deal. So I think coming at it, like what we said, making like it a cultural training thing, it's for preparation, right? It's not punishment to like say like, you did this bad. It's more for us to lift each other up.
There's so much to be said about getting feedback from your peers and understanding how different people go at opportunities from a completely different lens. And that oftentimes helps move opportunities forward. I've done that with teams for years where you'll dissect an opportunity, listen to a call, read an email. Collaboratively, you come up with a way better way to approach that than you would on your own. And then everybody's bought in together on that success. To your point about making training a cultural element, man, I want to see my teammates win. So if there's a way for me to chime in on something that helps them get further, that's good for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think it's something that like, you have to be intentional with that too, right? Like, it needs to be like something that's like, it's every week we're going to do this, and people have to understand that's what it's going to be. And we're going to get better from it together. Right. So if we each have our individual goals, but as a company, we need to hit our company goals. So like, if you're going to make, it's not, we're all competitive, you know, regardless. And that's how you push each other. Right. I mean, at Coyote, it was like that, like the kind of what we were talking about in a previous episode, the whole like shift in person and the awkwardness and anxiety after COVID and all that. Like, we were pushing each other. Like, if you're making 300 calls in a day, I'm making 301. And that, we need to push each other as much on like the professional development side of things, whether that's doing role playing for sales or role playing for like customer service stuff or questions, you know, things like that. Like, I think, yeah, it's critical for us all to kind of build each other up so we can hit these organizational goals.
I love that, man. Okay. It's really refreshing to hear the passion in your voice about the team aspect of it and making it a cultural part of what makes everybody better, because a rising tide lifts all ships. And so if we're all working towards a similar goal and want to see each other succeed, we're going to do a lot better. So I'm going to go ahead and mention a couple of the notes that I took. And then if you have anything to add, man, let me know as we get ready to wrap up. Cool. So you mentioned something in the beginning that I love. So a process for certifying people, whether it be going to a conference or they have to go through a specific role play to get the thumbs up to say they're ready to go do something. In general, role playing practice is extremely important to get people to at bats to understand how to position what they're selling. Finding your own voice is another big part of practice. All of those things get you warmed up for those actual connections. So when Gabe finally picks up the phone, I've worked through that scenario enough to be ready to talk to him. You mentioned making training part of the culture of your business, which I absolutely love. And we're all in this together. So your sale may not impact my book of business, but as an organization, we're going to be able to progress. And so we should all be bought in on each other's success.
Yeah. And even on to stack on top of the certification, we used to have scorecards kind of associated to that. We would do it on every call. You could put a scorecard in there and put some comments. We kept it pretty simple, like five different criteria like you would take on like a survey. I thought that was critical because you get a lot of like comments from your team as well on these like scorecards. And we implemented that for calls and for the conference certification process. So that was just kind of like an add-on to that. And then like when you're talking to people, this kind of just came up to my mind because we've been talking about like AI and stuff. There's a lot of people that will ask you like, hey, how you're doing? And then you kind of just go right into your pitch. Listen and ask them how they're doing and wait for them to give you a response. You know, like be real with, if you're going to ask a question, pause and let them like, don't just kind of like stampede the entire discussion. So that's just like one thing on top of kind of what we've been talking about with the last couple episodes is just like, how are you? Listen. And that's how you kind of really build like that muscle of having folks feeling heard and active listening. Cause I think that's like one of like the five most important things in sales is really like listening to the person and having them feel that too.
Absolutely, man. Well, Gabe, it's been a pleasure having you on Sales Bites. I appreciate you spending some time here with us today. Thank you very much.
Good seeing you all. Thank you.
Awesome. Catch you later.